Thank you, Ms. Cindy. So I have to use a microphone because they're recording this. Otherwise, I would just yell at you guys all night. And I've been talking all day. My first meeting was about 6:30 this morning, and I saw about 100 patients today. So it's been a crazy day. It's holiday week, so it's always a little bit crazy for us. But Ms. Cindy is amazing. I'm so grateful to be a part of her journey and her healing journey. You know, health is not a destination. It truly is a journey. It's something that we must be active in all the time. And self-care is so important. I think, especially you guys as ladies and perhaps as mothers, y'all tend to put yourselves last until things kind of fall apart, and then you try to like piece it back together for a little bit, then you gotta go back to being a mom and a wife or a grandma, whatever it may be. And so we often forget that, you know, we really need to take care of ourselves. And I say it all the time, we tend to spend more time taking care of our cars, our pets. We spend more time searching for a TV than we do for the right doctor or the right people to help us find our health choices and our health goals. And so hopefully tonight it'll kind of open your eyes a little bit to really what we're called to be. And if you look at our country, we don't live in a very healthy country. In fact, America has some of the lowest healthcare outcomes. Even though we spend more money, we have some of the best doctors. We have the most access to healthcare. And if you've traveled around the world, we're pretty darn blessed in this country with the healthcare that we have as access to us. But the problem is they look at health in the wrong perspective. They look at it from what's called allopathic, which is wait till something falls apart, we'll wait till we have a symptom, and then we'll try to do something. Instead of looking and figuring out why is that symptom showing up and how can we prevent it from ever happening in the first place. And so America is an amazing place, but when it comes to health, they're having a lot of struggles. And so being a doctor, and I've been practicing over 10 years, and I've been a chiropractic patient for 23 years. I started getting adjusted when I was 15. And it flipped my perspective. Being a person who goes to church, you know, God called us to be well, called us to be fruitful, called us to be amazing. But we do live in a physical world that is limited, and a lot of things happen to us. But there are ways to deal with that so that we can thrive and have a healthy life. And, so chiropractic helped open my eyes and my family's eyes to the potential for healing and the potential for living a life of vitality and health and not just pain and taking more medications and, doing all these things and living a life that's less than what we're called to be. And not that there's not a time and place for medicine and surgery and all these things, but they don't really bring health to our life. They help us survive. They don't help us thrive. And so the principles that we'll talk about tonight hopefully will help open your eyes to how can we really thrive in this in the life that God's given us. Because, you know, it is finite, right? There is an end to it, but there also the points in between the beginning and the end should be amazing. God designed us to be amazing. And if you look at the body, if you look at the capabilities that we have, it gives you so much hope that we can do something different. And the tough thing is we live in a country where we're taught and conditioned to do things that aren't necessarily in line with what God called for us, right? We give our kids food that we would never give to our pets, right? And we do things to our bodies that, you know, we know inherently that are wrong, are not the most beneficial, but we may not have the ability to do something different or the knowledge to do something different. And so again, tonight I'm sharing from my heart. Like Cindy said, I'm not here to sell you guys on anything. I actually spoke, I haven't spoken since before COVID, so y'all, I might be a little rusty tonight, but I spoke to this pastor one time when I was trying to get into churches to help just educate our community, and I had this pastor one time tell me that he believed that if his people, his parishioners got well, they wouldn't come to church anymore. I was like, man, you have such a horrible idea of what God has called your people to be. And so that really impassioned me to educate more people, and because I do believe our life is designed to be amazing. And again, things do happen. There are genetics. There are different things that can happen, but really we're called to be amazing. And so I want to share some ideas with you guys tonight. Again, I could talk literally for days. So Cindy said I had 3 hours. So buckle up, get some dinner, and we're going to go forward here. Uh-oh. Now my clicker's not working. All right. So this is the title of my little thing here is America, Land of the Sick, because, you know, you look at our country, and we are a country of sick people, and we've got to do something different. You know, does anybody know the definition of insanity? Right, and what do we do in America? We do the same things over and over again and expect different results, and it doesn't work that way. We've got to do something different, if we're not finding the intended outcome that we're looking for, right? And so really the goal is to create a life for you guys and your families of health. You can go ahead. So what is health? How do you guys describe, how would you define health? Cindy? That you want to do. So yeah, she said being well, being able to do the things that you want to do, right? And that really is what it is. Your body is designed to do amazing things. You know, you have like trillions of cells in your body. At every given moment, every one of those cells is doing 200,000 chemical reactions to keep us alive, right? And so we're designed to do great things, and we're designed to do the things we want to do. But if our body is not functioning well, then we can't do those things. And so true health is the body doing what it's designed to do, when it needs to do it, how it needs to do it, unimpeded, right? And so that's true health. And true health only comes from within. God gave us everything we need inside of our bodies to create and perpetuate life here on earth, right? And so we just have to give our body the right tools and the right environment, the right things to do what it's designed to do in the first place. You can go ahead. Huh? Is it working now? Look at that. Sweet. Thank you so much. So in our world, you know, health is in the medical world or the American health paradigm, we base our health on how we feel, right? Did you know that only about 10 to 15% of all the nerves in your body determine pain and sensation? 10 to 15%. And how do we usually determine if we need to go to the doctor or not? Pain, symptoms, right? And are those things important? Absolutely. They tell us something's wrong. It's the light going off saying something's wrong in the body, but what do? We do something that covers it up. It may be an ointment. It may be a medication. It may be a massage, right? And those things are all fine. There's a time and place for those things, but they're not necessarily correcting the underlying problem. And so we do this year after year throughout our life, and we start to grow different sicknesses and diseases. Do you know what the number one cause of death in America is? Heart disease, right? And heart disease is a completely preventable disease through lifestyle, right? What's the second? Cancer, right? And we all deal with this. My dad went through it last year. So we've all either experienced it or know someone that has gone through that process, and it is heartbreaking. But 97% of all cancer is lifestyle induced. But nobody tells us that. Nobody tells us that we can do things differently to have a different outcome. And so we wait till we have problems and have symptoms before we start to act. And so if we can do things before that ever shows up, we can change the trajectory and change the outcome of what the expression of life that we have. And so I pulled a couple of verses from the Bible, because obviously we're at church tonight and we want to tie this into, you know, what are we really called for in this life? And This scripture here says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So we really worship God through the way that we treat ourselves. And if we really analyze what we're doing day to day, are we honoring God with the decisions that we're making, with the food that we're putting in our mouth, with the things that we're reading and watching, with the chemicals that we're putting into our bodies, the way that we move our bodies, or are we even moving our bodies? And moving from the couch to the refrigerator doesn't count, okay? I do that a lot. I like food. But what are we doing day to day within our bodies? Because our body is the temple, correct? To honor God with that, because that our expression of life is an example or an extension of God. God created us in his image. So what are we doing to uphold that on our end of it, right? God's always there, but what are we doing to make ourselves available for that? And that comes down to the choices that we make, the best choices we can make for ourselves and for our families, okay? And so when we look at a plant that's wilting, right, what's the first thing you think about? Water, right? What else? Sunlight. So what is water? It's hydration, right? How many of you guys drink at least half a gallon of water a day? Man, you guys are awesome. So water, most of America is dehydrated. You guys are amazing. Holy cow. I've never talked to a group that's had this many bottles of water. This is amazing. So you guys should be proud of that. But most Americans are extremely dehydrated, which create migraines and digestive issues and all kinds of different problems, right? So water is the first thing we think about. And then you said sunlight. What is sunlight? That's the source of life, right? So how are we connecting to the source of life in our body, in our nervous system, in the way that we integrate with our the world around us and to God, right? And what else do you think about? Food, soil, right? We got to have good food. If you put plants on rocky soil or in bad soil or toxic soil, it's not going to thrive. But what are we doing to ourselves? We're eating junk food all the time or more than we should, right? It doesn't mean you can't have pizza and you can't enjoy food, but what are you doing day in and day out to edify your body and build you up? And so we think of these things, but none of you guys said aspirin, right? Or heart or blood pressure medication, right? Those things don't create life. They don't create vitality. They help us survive. By the way, I love thunderstorms, so I've been asking for a thunderstorm, and of course it shows up tonight. So either God's really happy or not really happy with me right now. But so when we think about our bodies, when we feel like we're wilting, when we feel like we are falling apart, what are we doing to as an answer for that? Are we building up our self-care? Are we upping all of our self-care? Are we eating better, moving better, thinking better, praying more? What are we doing in those times of struggle? Are we actively trying to correct it, or are we just covering it up with stuff, right? Are we just pushing through it and then moving from that, right? So we've got to think about what does our body need in this moment based on what I'm experiencing in my life. So there's core fundamentals that that we need as humans, as because we are part of the animal kingdom, right? But what, when we think about like a deer in nature, right? What does a deer do all day? They graze, they eat, right? What else do? They sleep. They sleep most of the day. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? They drink. They mate. They do all the things that a deer is designed to do, right? We've created a world, an industrialized world, that we sit in chairs all day. We're stressed to the nines. We've got financial responsibilities. We've got time responsibilities. We have family responsibilities. So we've created all of these stresses that inherently were never designed for our body and our nervous system and our brain to deal with. And so we are moving farther away from what we're designed for. So we got to step back to the primitive. Everything I always, when people ask me questions about what should I do about this or how should I exercise or what should I eat, it all goes back to what would we have done 1,000 years ago before we had it. Technology, right? It goes back to these fundamentals. Number one is eating well. You've got to give your body tools to work with. If you pour sand in your gas tank in your car, how far are you going to get? Not very far. What about some sugar? Because that tastes good, right? Still not going to get very far. You've got to give your body what it needs for fuel. The second is moving well. We've got to move our bodies. Movement is life. Every cell in your body vibrates at a frequency. Did you know when you're dehydrated, your cells literally slow down? And every cell in your body slows down and vibrates at a lower frequency? And guess where disease comes from? Lower vibration frequencies in the body. So moving, you've got to move your body. 90% of the input into the brain comes from movement of the spine. And if you're sitting in a chair all day and you're sitting on the couch at home, you're sitting in your car to go to work, how much is your spine really moving? How much is your body and your joints really moving? You've got to think well. When my dad got cancer last year, guess where the first place his mind went? Straight down, right? It's a scary day when you get that news, right? And he took a nosedive because he was a healthy guy. He had not taken a medication in like 30 years. He has been a very healthy person. And he kind of took a nosedive, and he went to this, we found this integrative oncologist in Roswell that's a faith-based oncology. If you guys ever have anyone that deals with that stuff, Dr. Stegall, he saved my dad's life. But the first thing he said is, we've got to get your mind right. He said, nothing else I do for you is going to work until we get your mind right, because my dad was so depressed. So he went and did counseling before he ever started any treatment. And then they did a bunch of holistic supportive care, and then they did some medical care. So your mind is a powerful thing, and how we use it is going to determine a lot of things in our life. And then functioning well. Obviously, as a chiropractor, I love chiropractic. This isn't necessarily a chiropractic talk, but your nervous system is what integrates everything. It's what controls everything. And God designed it that way. Did you know that when you're born, when the two cells come together, the very first thing that forms is something called the neural streak. The neural streak then becomes your brainstem. Your brainstem is the master control for your entire body. It controls and coordinates every function you don't think about. So if it's the first thing that God forms in our body, I would assume that it's pretty important, right? And then when we are at the end of our life and you're in a hospital, what they're actually reading on the EKG or the EEG is your brainstem. And when it doesn't work, that's when they call it. Because your brainstem is the source of life and connection throughout your whole system. So we've got to function well from the inside out. And the nervous system is what integrates all of those things. So eating well. This is a tough one. You know, I'm a Southern guy. I love biscuits and gravy, you know. But we can't do that every day. We've got to make good choices day in and day out so that we can give our body the fuel that it needs. And there's a ton of confusion and misleading things in this world when it comes to food. One day eggs are the best thing for you, the next day they're gonna kill you, right? So where do we even start with that? You know what I mean? And so again, it goes back to primitive, like what is good for our body? We need real food that doesn't come out of a box or out of a window, right? And when you go to the grocery store, spend your time on the outside of the store. The more time you spend there, you're gonna realize there's a ton of awesome food. You just got to actually cook it. That's the tough part, right? Who's got time for that anymore? But food is very simple, but it can also be very complicated. So let's try to simplify things in our life. Find the things that you really love that are really good for you and just eat it as much as you can and add it to the things you're already doing, right? And so food is hard because I could teach a whole class on nutrition and what it all means and like what are fats and what are carbs and what are proteins and how they all work together. And all that balance, that's literally a whole entire class that I could teach for you guys, and I can do that at some point. But food is something that you have to invest in, not money, but time and understanding. What's the last time you read a book about food, right? And so it's just something we don't understand because we're never taught to do it. We just eat whatever's there and whatever's easy and, you know, whatever it may be. But food is the foundation. It's what gives us the fuel that we need. And so, in my opinion, for most people, we eat a lot of inflammatory foods. You look at most diseases in the body, they all stem from chronic inflammation. And so following a more anti-inflammatory diet can be life-changing. I'm actually bringing a doctor on in my practice that she specializes in this stuff because people are so lost and confused and they're sick. She actually had MS and healed herself from MS through the work that she does. But she does it based on blood chemistry and food. And because we're so inflamed and so we're putting so much toxic stuff in our body. So how do we get past that and move backwards? But our food has to be our foundation. And so I love this quote. I can't read it up there, but it says, those who think they have no time for healthy eating will sooner or later have to find time for illness, right? It has to be a priority, not only for us, but for our kids. Our kids don't do what we say. They say they do what we do. And what we're putting in our kids' mouths and what we're putting in our own mouths in front of our kids is teaching them what's right and wrong. And so that starts with us, and it is going to transfer down into the next generation. And so we need to, again, like I said, invest time and energy into learning more about nutrition and how we can implement that. And so, again, you want to look at anti-inflammatory diets, which is going to be like paleo, keto, Whole30, things like that. And what you're going to find is they all have the same premise. They're reducing out high carb load, high glycemic foods that our bodies can't process. And it's very taxing for our body. And so we have to eliminate those things, not all the time, but for most of the time. And what you'll find is you'll actually eat more. You'll be more satiated. You'll have more pleasure eating your food because you don't feel groggy and run down after you eat that half a pizza, right? I've done that before. I used to be a teenager, so in my youth group growing up, my youth pastor was a big guy, and he would tell you that his vice, his struggle, his sin in life was food. Like, he had this addiction to food, and we used to call it the anointing, because if you hung out with him, you would gain weight, and And so we, but we would go eat at like Ryan's or whatever, and it would be a competition on how much stinking food we could eat. Like, you eat all this food, I'm like a 15-year-old kid, you know, and I could eat 8 plates of food. But then afterward, we'd all just be in a coma, you know? And so food, as good as it is in this world, you know, we got to be more choicey on where we're eating and what we're putting into our bodies. And so things you want to avoid is sugar. Did you know that we, the average American, I should have looked up this statistic, but it's like, we eat like 100 times more sugar every year than we're designed to eat. Like, it's a ridiculous amount. And the food industry knows this because sugar is like cocaine to the brain. And it's actually 9 times more addictive than cocaine. And so they know this. They put in everything. Everything you think is healthy, they've got sugar in it. And but sugar is directly linked to increased chances of cancer, heart disease, all the different things, right? And again, sugar is awesome. It tastes so good. But it, just because it tastes good doesn't mean it's good for us. And doesn't mean we should be eating it every day. And if you look at kids' foods especially, they target kids big time. Bless you. And this is something we have to be very mindful of with our kids. Even healthy foods that are organic, that they still have lots of sugar in them, because sugar is still organic, right? Yes, ma'am. So honey is a much better option. So honey is still sugar, so you're still going to have a glycemic spike, but you still don't want to have lots of it. My wife's family, so this is another, I have a lot of tangents, but my wife's family, she's from a little town in Florida. They started harvesting Tupelo honey back in the 1930s. So her family was the first people to ever harvest Tupelo honey, which is honey that never oxidizes. It lasts forever. And it has a lot of healing qualities and stuff. So honey is a much better option for like your coffee or foods and baking and things like that. You can definitely add in honey. They have a lot of substitutes now with like coconut sugar. But here's the thing, sugar is sugar. Your body still has to respond to it. Especially if you're on like the level of like diabetic or pre-diabetic, you should have zero sugar, zero bread for a period of time. The only way your body's ever gonna heal from that is eliminating that 100%. Again, I could teach a whole class on just diabetes and how I could literally take anyone with diabetes in 30 to 60 days, they would no longer have it. But you gotta be willing to do what you're supposed to do. Yes, ma'am. Fruits are sugar, yes. So if they're a better sugar than like refined sugars in like a popsicle, right? But sugar is sugar. So if you're gonna eat fruit, I always say eat it before 11 a.m. because you're gonna burn that sugar through the day. You shouldn't be eating fruit at night. There's also low glycemic fruit. So the berries, kiwi, green apples, those have lower glycemic impact on the body. I can actually email you a food list and you can email it out to all the ladies. Just gives you like a ton of information on how to pick these different foods out with that. But yeah, fruit, certain fruits are a good option. But if you're diabetic, pre-diabetic, cancer, anything like that, you should have no sugar in your diet. My dad didn't eat sugar for almost a year. And it's very important. But sugar is a huge issue. Dairy. So dairy is one of those things, you know, we're not designed to be cows. And dairy is designed to grow a cow. And there's not a whole lot of healthy ingredients in milk that gives you calories and fat and all the stuff. But it doesn't create health in the body. It actually creates an increase in mucus, which creates digestive issues and a lot of different problems in the body, okay? So dairy is something that, unless you're getting grass-fed, very healthy cows, which they don't have many of those in America anymore, that dairy is not ideal, especially if you have any underlying health issues. Yes, ma'am? I'm blowing their minds, Cindy. They're going crazy. Sorry. Those are great. So she said, what about almond milk and cashew milk? I love cashew milk. It's like one of the, it's so creamy and good. Almond milk's fine too. I prefer cashew milk. But here's the thing is you want to make sure it's the unsweetened version. Because they do put flavoring and sugar and all that stuff in it. Make sure you get the unsweetened version. Yes, ma'am. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I just thought of
here. I should have done a nutrition talk tonight. So here's the thing, she asked about her pediatrician recommending more dairy for her kids. And again, this is nothing against medical doctors. You know how much education a medical doctor gets in school on nutrition? 1 hour. I got 2 years, okay? So what they do it based on the CDC food pyramid, or FDA food pyramid, right? And guess who pays for that? Big agriculture, right? Guess what they want you to buy? Milk, because who's making all the money? Big dairy, right? And they're the corn and the wheat and all these things that they're doing. But you think about like cereal, right? Cereal is easy because it's cheap. It lasts forever. But why would they have to fortify it with all these vitamins just to make it edible? Right? Milk, why do they fortify with all these things just to make it digestible? Right? Doesn't mean you can't ever have those things, but if that's all we're drinking, all we're putting in our body's going to struggle through that. Okay? And so alternatives are all the nut milks are really good. Oat milk is really great. But again, you want to look at the sugar and carb content when you're shopping for those products. Soy is, in America, most soy is GMO, which is going to be extremely inflammatory in the body. And soy also breaks down as estrogen in the body. So boys should never have soy. Girls should not have soy because it can increase their estrogen levels and create hormone problems. But again, soy, easy to grow. It grows in every environment. They can subsidize it. They can all these things, right? So they fit it into the world of just feed it to your kids because it's calories and it's an alternative to milk, right? So soy can be very unhealthy as well. Processed foods, this one's pretty easy. It comes in a box. That means it's been in a factory. And most likely it's going to be very hard for your body to break down. Even though it tastes yummy, it's probably not the best thing for you. Artificial sweeteners. The thing with artificial sweeteners is your brain and your nervous system don't know the difference. It still thinks you're eating sugar. So guess what it does? It still has insulin spikes. So guess what you still get? Weight gain, diabetes, all the different problems. It makes me sad that I see people stuffing their faces, they get this huge plate of food, and they're drinking a Diet Coke. I'm like, but at the end of the day, we just don't know. We think we're doing a good thing, you know what I mean? But Diet Coke, when you look at things like aspartame or sucralose, those are neurotoxins. There's literally studies that show it eats your brain tissue. But the FDA, because someone gave them a bunch of money, said, hey, we're going to pass this along and put it in all our food products. Yes, ma'am. Stevia is a better option, but again, the body still thinks that it's sugar. So you're still going to have an insulin spike. So you're not getting the calories, but you get the glycemic impact, which is what causes diabetes. Yes, ma'am. All soy. Because America is, in America, soy, most soy is GMO, unless you can find non-GMO. But you still don't want it, you still want to limit it, especially for boys and for young girls that are developing. It can throw off their hormone development. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, ma'am. So the cool, she was asking all the things I'm telling you not to do. Her doctors also told her, beyond having diabetes, how do you flavor your food? Well, there's tons of spices in different cultures, and there's all these different things that we can add to our food without it being salty, right? And salt's not necessarily a bad thing, okay? But there's a seasoning called Mrs. Dash. It has no salt in it. The best thing in the world. Yeah. Mrs. Dash is the jam. So that's a great way to season your food because they have it for all different proteins that you can put in different foods. So Mrs. Dash is a great option. And salt's not necessarily a bad thing, but you have to get good salt. Like if you just get iodized salt that's like the cheap stuff, it actually is not very healthy for you, and it actually will tear your arteries and your intestines. But if you get like pink Himalayan salt, there's actually like thousands of types of salts. I learned this in a documentary I watched. All over the world, it's like a delicacy. But here in America, it's hard to find that. So pink Himalayan salt is going to be the best option for you. And you can actually like put in your water and stuff. It's really good for you. Grains. So the other thing with grains, so they're all mostly GMO. Grains are inflammatory. So if you think about it, so grains have been in our culture and our communities for about 40,000 years. Pre 40,000 years ago, and that's when all chronic disease started showing up, is when we created communities and towns. We started growing wheat and different types of grains. which are sustainable, it'll keep you alive, but it's not creating health. And so if you think about this plant, so you take this wheat and you've got to grind it down and cook it and do all this stuff just to put it in your body, we probably shouldn't be eating it, right? We've got to break it down in so many levels just for it to be somewhat digestible. And so that can create, for some people, inflammatory issues with their bowels. And so we talk about celiac disease. This is, they love to throw this out there. Celiac disease is actually a very small population. But what's happening is our wheat is grown with chemicals called glyphosate, which is the Roundup weed killer. And that is what's been linked to all of these digestive issues in people. Because I have patients that are diagnosed as celiac, but they'll travel around the world and go to like Italy and all these places where they don't do glyphosate, and they can eat pasta all day long and have no issues. So it's not the pasta, it's not the wheat necessarily, but it's the chemicals they're using. And there's over 80,000 chemicals in our food supply that are passed by the FDA. So again, it's hard because you can't get away from all of it, right? It's frustrating. But how can we minimize that, the bad stuff, and increase the good stuff, okay? Yes. Mm-hmm. No, so with she asked about whole grain and Ezekiel and things like that. So whole grain is going to be a better option than white bread. Ezekiel bread is going to be the best option of all of those because those are truly sprouted bread. So they're not very processed. So your body can, you know, use that, okay? If you have a lot of digestive issues, I would not recommend that because the seeds and stuff can be hard for your body to digest. But Ezekiel bread is a good option if you want to do that. The tough thing is you have to toast it and cook it just to make it because it's frozen. But there's other options. There's a lot of different flours and things that you can use to make bread, and there's a lot of companies that are making wheat-free breads and things like that. And even like tortillas, there's coconut flour tortillas you can get now, which are pretty cool. So there's a lot of ways around it. But like I know Sprouts has like a lot of options outside of that wheat world. But again, the breads go back to the subsidization of agriculture through the government for the last 100 years, you know, and that's to prevent like famines and things like that, because we can store wheat for 100 years and use it whenever. And so if we do have a crisis, we can use that to survive. And that's kind of where that mentality came from. But then they've just been abusing it ever since. Yes, ma'am.
I love oatmeal.
Me too. Yeah. If you're on diabetes, no. Rolled oats. So rolled oats are ideal. That's the best option.
Okay, or steel.
It's the same thing. Okay. Yep. Steel cut rolled oats. Yep. That's the best option. Quaker, like cinnamon sugar, brown sugar. That was so good, but it's not good for you. So yeah, if you're going to do oatmeal, you want to do steel cut rolled oats. Takes a while. Yep. And that's the hard thing. We all got jobs and stuff, you know? Yeah. Don't get me, the microwave is a whole nother talk. And obviously fast food, I don't need to really explain fast food, right? That's pretty straightforward. Again, doesn't mean we can't ever do these things, but what are we doing day in and day out? What choices are we making, and what is that doing to our bodies? And really, what is it giving our body to work with to edify it and to take care of it? You know, it's interesting. I grew up in church, and, you know, we talk about, I remember, of course, people with tattoos now are a little bit more, you know, accepted or whatever, but when I was growing up, like, if you got a tattoo, you're like, you're defiling God's temple. But that same person that's telling them they're defiling God's temple is going to eat McDonald's every day, you know, putting that junk in their body, they're defiling the temple too, you know? So this is a big issue, because what we're putting in our body is allowing us to live and to love and to worship and do all the things. But if we're sick, if we're having these struggles, we can't do those things. A lot of people I take care of are like, I just had a lady, she's like, I could not stand up in church for the whole service or for praise and worship. But since I've been getting adjusted and I've been changing these things in my life, I can stand the whole time and I have no problems, right? And so we've got to do things that are going to, again, edify our body, so that the way we take care of our body is also edifying God and being an example. Moving our bodies, this is the tough one too, right? All this stuff is so difficult. So moving our bodies, right? And again, this does not count just going out to the mailbox and getting the mail and coming back in and watching Family Feud, okay? As much as I love Steve Harvey and Family Feud, we can't just do that every day, right? I love my job because these ladies that come see me, I run around that place like a crazy person all day, and I love it because I don't get to sit down, and I hate sitting down. And but we do sit. We sit in school. We sit at church. We sit at work, we sit in our cars, we sit at the movies, we sit everywhere, right? Our bodies were never designed to sit in a chair, ever. If you look at primitive cultures, if you look at children, I just happened at the office today, this family was there, and this little girl just squats down and sit there playing with the toys for like 10 minutes, just squatting, right? How many of you guys could do that? Awesome. Let's see it. Everybody, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. We were never designed to sit in a chair for long periods of time. And no one, I don't care who you are, if you're sitting in a chair for more than 10 minutes, you're going to have bad posture. Because who's going to sit like this for a long time, right? But when we sit, and if we slouch, if you're sitting in a chair and you slouch like this, that puts up to 200 pounds of tension on the lumbar spine. And we're doing this day in and day out for our entire life. And so no wonder that back pain affects like 80 to 90% of Americans, because we're doing so much that puts so much stress on our backs and our necks. The other thing is this new technology is the cell phones, right? I truly feel this is gonna be our next epidemic with this next generation. I'm seeing degenerative disc disease in children because they're growing up doing this all day, right? And they're not moving, they're not playing, they're not doing those activities, and their spines and their bodies are really struggling with that. And not that we can get away from that technology, but we've got to teach our kids how to do it in a healthy way. And we're the parents, right? It's our job to lead them and give them boundaries on those things. And so we've got to move our bodies. So I love this another scripture here talking about how we should take care of ourselves. And it says, I can't read that up there. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly, right? I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Think about that. I do not run like someone running aimlessly. We have to do things in our life on purpose. God called us to be on purpose and purposeful with the things that we do. And it says, I strike a blow to my body. That means you're like hurting yourself, but it's you're pushing yourself. Because how hard is it to get up at 5 a.m. to go work out at the gym, right? Who wants to do that? But if you do that and it's hard and you push through it, that will make you stronger. That will help you persevere. That'll help you reach the goals. That'll help you be more successful in all the areas of your life. It makes you healthier. Listen, I don't do it every day, but I get up at 5 a.m. a lot of times because I don't have another time to do it. And when I get up and work out, or if I get up and do yoga, or if I get up and do something, my whole day is different, right? And so we have to be purposeful, because you don't want to be, it says, they don't want to be disqualified for the prize. What does that mean, right? Our job is to edify God through the way that we live. And the prize is the reward from God for that, the love from God, and the living in accordance to that, okay? And so we have to be purposeful behind the things that we do. Because if we don't find purpose in it, it's never going to happen. Because it's never about losing weight. As much as all of us want to lose weight, we talk about that. But what is it really? It's to be able to do the things you want to do without pain, without discomfort, and without limitation. And it's got to be a bigger purpose in order to drive you to do it day in and day out. Right? So different ways that we can move our body is yoga. And yoga is not this weird new agey, like sit in the woods and, you know, talk to Buddha. It's a mindfulness in connection with breathing, in connection with moving your body, and the whole purpose is to reconnect us to God. And it's not any particular religion or faith or anything. It's your connection to God and letting everything else go away and being quiet and allowing that to happen. That's true practice of yoga. I actually just had a friend of mine, she's a patient that does yoga, and she did a presentation in a business meeting this morning. She did a whole talk about this morning, how it's not this weird, like, thing, like, retreat in the woods. You know, some people do that, but it's about being still and being quiet and then moving in accordance to God to connect on a deeper level. Because we're so distracted these days. There's so much on our plates. There's so much going on that we can't even sit still. So yoga and Tai Chi are two amazing ways to do that. Boot camps are great because they're a community. You have someone there telling you what to do. There's accountability. Because here's the other thing. If you're trying to do it on your own, it's real easy to say, you know what, I'm just going to hit the snooze button and we'll do it tomorrow. You know what I mean? But if you know Cindy's already there waiting on you, she's going to be like, listen, Let's get our life together. Kathy's like drinking her coffee and Cindy's already at the gym, you know. So boot camps are great because they do have instruction. They give you a template, but there's also accountability in that. And even just simply walking or jogging. Some of us may not be in a physical place to be able to go do a boot camp yet, but just walking 30 minutes a day will literally change your life. And I started doing this. I did a 40-day challenge where I had to get up and walk for 40 minutes every morning. And before I got up at 5 a.m., and I'd walk for 40 minutes. I'll tell you what, that's pretty amazing. You just walk around, no phone. You listen to the birds. You see the sunrise, like all that stuff. It's amazing when you get out and just walk in nature, that all the things God gave us to enjoy, but we're all too busy to see it. Okay, so just walking is a big deal. HIIT training. How many of you have heard of this? High interval intensity training, right? So this is where you work really hard for a short period and you stop or slow down for a period and it's real hard. What's really cool about this is if you can get to that level, you can burn fat for up to 24 to 48 hours after your workout. And you can do these workouts in 8 to 15 minutes and burn more calories than if you worked out for an hour just like walking around the gym, talking to your girlfriends. We don't ever do that, do we? Aerobics. So aerobics are just, again, organized movement, organized patterns of movement to help you get up and do things, and then weightlifting. So, yes, ma'am. Oh, that's I should add that. Swimming is like one of the best things. So swimming is amazing, especially if you have joint issues or have had surgery or something like that. Swimming is an awesome, thank you for saying that, is an amazing thing. I recommend this for a lot of people that are going through recovery from surgeries and things like that, because you can move the body with some resistance, you can burn calories, but you're not jarring the body or doing anything that's real heavy or intense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great too. She said exercise in the pool, like the water aerobics, or that's a great option as well. Again, for low impact movement, and it's way harder than you think it is. Man, it'll kick your tail. And then weightlifting, right? Weightlifting, again, I don't mean to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? But weightlifting is resistance. One of the biggest things I see as we age and get into our older years is osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is literally caused because we stop using our body. Bone density is based on resistance and how we use the body. And so we have to do that. And you don't have to do anything crazy. So this is pretty cool. So these are some folks that are later in their life, they're doing more things than I am. And it's pretty amazing. The reason I show this picture is because we often limit ourselves or create limitations for ourselves. And your mindset's going to change your abilities and what you can do. And this lady at the top left, I read a story about her. She was in her 80s, and she started CrossFit. And look at her. She's, like, killing it. Look how, like, each of those plates, I don't even know how much that is, but it's probably more than I can lift. But she's out there doing it, right, and showing up and doing the work. The guy on the bottom left, his name was Banana Joe. He was in his 90s, and he was still barefoot skiing every weekend. You know, that was like a thing he was known for. And this lady on the bottom right, her name is Ernestine Shepherd. She is awesome. Her and her twin sister, they come from a family that have a history of high blood pressure and heart disease and strokes. And so they decided in their, I think they were like 64, and they decided they were going to start working out together because they wanted to change the trajectory for their family. They didn't want to be that statistic in their family. And so they started working out together, and unfortunately, Ernestine's sister passed away from a stroke, like that first year they were getting into it. So she was like, "What's the use, you know?" And but then she got down in the dumps for a little bit. But then she was like, "You know what? My sister would not want me to quit doing this." And so she actually was the first ever female bodybuilder over the age of 65. She started the can't remember the name of it, but like just the elder group bodybuilders. She was the first female to do it. Now there's an entire organization, and she trains women to do bodybuilding. And so she still wakes up at 4:30 every morning, and she's in her, I think she's close to 80 years old now. I follow her on social media. She's awesome. And but she did it. She changed the trajectory for her family. And it is possible. At any point, it is possible to change your life. Sorry. So think well, right? Our minds are an awesome and scary thing, right? It's powerful. And God gave us this ability to push ourselves through life and to allow us to achieve the things we need to do. So there is a direct connection between your attitude and your mindset and the outcomes in anything that you do. And number one is your health and your vitality. So having a positive attitude and mindset is important. And part of that is surrounding yourself with the right people. I can tell you guys are an amazing group of women, and supporting each other this way is so important because life is hard, it's tough, and when you have someone there rooting for you and they're in your corner, it makes it so much easier to achieve the things you want to achieve. Having a strong faith, that is huge, right? Having a connection to something bigger than yourself, because it's not about us. It's about our families, and ultimately it's about edifying God and being an example of what God called us to be. Prayer and meditation, again, this comes back to stilling the mind, connecting to God, and whatever that is for you and how that looks like you for in your life. We've got to take time to be quiet. And prayer is not always asking God for things. We always think, like, I'm going to ask God for this or that. It's about being still and being quiet and listening to what God wants to tell you and what he has designed for your life. And I think as humans, we're innately ego-driven and everything is really about us, you know? But God, you know, if we can be still enough and quiet and listen and let our soul be open to what he's trying to give us, oftentimes it's the opposite of what we think we want. And it's tough because we have to struggle with that, but prayer is so important because it gives us that time to get on the right path of what is called for us. Reading proper books, and whatever this may be for you, it could be faith-based books, it could be business books, whatever your passion is, you need to read books that are going to help you have a deeper understanding and a deeper knowledge and the ability to work through some of the things you're trying to achieve. And daily affirmations. And God, I really believe what we speak comes to fruition, and what we speak over our lives will happen. And our harshest critics are ourselves. What are we saying to ourselves in our own brain? And how are we speaking about ourselves? Because I don't know about you, but I'm pretty hard on myself. I'm an overthinker and a worrier, and it's something I've worked on a lot in my life. But I'm pretty hard on myself, and I judge myself more than I think anybody else judges me. So what are we doing to overcome that, and what are we doing to change that self-talk, but also what we're saying over our life? You know, when I do affirmations, I say, I am abundant. I am healthy. I am whole. And I visualize that. When I'm adjusting people, I visualize them whole. I'm not just moving, popping bones. But as I'm laying on them, my prayer, my thought is, I see them whole. I see them healthy. Because that speech, even though it's quiet in my head, is bringing about reality. So what are we speaking over our life, and what do we want for ourselves? It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The only way we can do this is by being still and being quiet and listening for that voice to tell us this is the will of God. How am I doing on time? Good. Hope you guys aren't hungry or anything, because I'm going to be here for a while. Just kidding. Function well, right? How many of you guys have ever seen a giraffe like this? Why would you never, ever see a giraffe look like this? They don't eat sugar, yeah. it's because they live their life according to what they were designed for and nothing else. Because we're higher thinking humans, we think we know better than God and better than nature and better than all the things that were created for us. We try to override that, and it's what's making us sick, right? So we look at our modern culture. Childhood obesity is like one of the number one, the largest growing epidemics. Childhood cancer is growing faster than any other group of cancer in the world. It's because we have a generation that's being raised in this environment that is extremely toxic, extremely disconnected from what God designed for us to be, and so it's manifesting physically in what we're experiencing in this life. You know, it breaks my heart when I see kids like this because they don't have a choice. That choice has been made for them. And think about the life that they're going to live and the struggles they're going to have dealing with that, right? We've got to do better. We've got to be better, not for only for ourselves, but for our children and the next generation, because we already have a healthcare crisis. And what's going to happen in the next generation, right? And so we've got to live according to what God has designed for us. And something I want to talk about real quickly is genetics. We talk about genetics, and we blame everything on genetics. Our genetics don't change but for every 40,000 years. But what has changed in the last 40,000 years? Food? Yeah, our environment, right? Our lifestyle, the things that we're doing and putting in our bodies and things we're saying, right? So our genetics are a component, right? There's a reason we look like our families. Genetics are a real thing. But we can alter the way that our genetics are displayed or experienced by the lifestyle choices that we make, okay? So it's probably hard to see this, but these are some common misconceptions that, you know, I hear too often from other doctors that they just tell patients that, oh, it's just your genetics, deal with it. You have diabetes, it's just your genetics, deal with it, right? You have heart disease, it's just your genetics. I don't believe that. I think that it's our lifestyles that we carry on from our parents or from our families or from our cultures or whatever it may be. Because again, I'm a Southern boy that grew up in Georgia and we love Southern fried foods, right? And if I lived that life every day, I would look completely different than I do now. Doesn't mean that I don't have fried chicken once in a while because I love some fried chicken, but I don't eat it every day, right? It's not my genetics, it's my lifestyle that changes that. Our genes are programmed for health. Why would God create us to be sick? It's the toxicity and or deficiency affecting the gene expression that leads to the sickness, not genetics. That's why you could take one person, I've seen this, you take somebody and, I think about all this stuff when I'm talking. They did studies on twins and twins that are separated at birth and the different lifestyles they live and how different they look and what their different health outcomes are. And you have some that live healthy lives, and they're literally a genetic twin, but they look and live a completely different life. And so our choices are going to determine how those genes are expressed outwardly. Our genes do not differ from our tribal, hunter-gatherer, pre-agricultural, pre-industrial ancestors. This is what I was talking about earlier, is a lot of things changed as we became more industrialized and more community-based. Not that community's bad, but when you have a small community, then you have to grow food at larger rates, right? And so everything changed when that began to happen. And so we have to look back to what was going on before that time. Because our ancestors, they didn't die from chronic disease. They didn't die from cancer and heart disease. They died from things that animals die from. Injury, infection, old age, right? They weren't dying from these chronic illnesses that we're seeing in modern world. The only difference between our ancestors and our sick society is toxicity and deficiency. Because our food sources are so poor, we have extreme deficiencies in vitamins and minerals and nutrients that we need for our body to work. When you talk about fats, so like going back to nutrition a little bit, there was this huge push for the no-fat, low-fat fad that happened in the 80s and 90s. So we did that for 20 years, and guess what is now on the rise in our elder population? Brain-based disorders. Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia, right? Guess what the brain is made of? Water and fat. So you deprive people of healthy fats in their food, guess what happens to the brain? It diminishes. It breaks down, right? And so we have to understand these different, that's why I say you got to invest time to understand these different components, because we know that it's not just genetics, it's what we're doing with our bodies in this world. So modern illness is due to environmental, not genetic factors. Modern illnesses are avoidable, and modern health is attainable, okay? If you talk about genetics, if you take a person that has Down syndrome, right, you can change their diet. They can exercise, they can get chiropractic care, they can do yoga and Tai Chi, right? But they're still going to be Down syndrome. That's who they are. That's a truly genetic component. But you take the average person that may be overweight, and you change their diet, you change their exercise, you change their lifestyle, what happens to them? Their whole life changes. Those are not genetic things, those are lifestyle induced experiences, okay? We can't blame everything on genetics. Instead of falling victim to your genetic vulnerabilities, you can control how your genes are express themselves and constantly rebuilding, repairing, and renewing your cells. Did you know you get an entirely new body every 7 years? Supposed to. You're supposed to get a brand new heart every 3 months. cellular regeneration. So if we're getting a new heart every 3 months, how in the world is heart disease the number one disease killer in the country? Because we're not giving the body the tools and the environment to do that. So we're reproducing ourselves sicker and sicker and sicker until eventually we have a disease. Pretty crazy, isn't it? I'm a genius. Functioning well. So we talk about adaptation versus symptoms. We're taught that all symptoms are bad. God gave us these reactions to keep us alive. You have a fever to keep you alive. It's not a bad thing. Now, can they get out of control? Of course. If you have someone that may be sicker, you have to watch them a little bit closer. But you know that babies can withstand a fever up to 105 and be fine? Now, you don't want it to stay there, right? It should. A true fever is going to do this. It's going to go up and down, up and down. And why is the body doing that? Huh? Fighting the infection, right? When we go to the store and get a steak, how many of you guys just eat it raw on the plate? No one's going to do that, right? Why do we cook it? It'll taste better. That's part of that's a byproduct. But why do we really cook it? Kill the bacteria. Bacteria can only live in a small window of temperature. So our bodies are pretty smart. So once we encounter a bacteria or a virus, it's going to raise our temperature so that bacteria dies. God's amazing. But what do? Take something real quick and bring it down. So guess what happens to the bacteria? It stays. And then it comes back and it goes and it comes back. And then eventually you just get sicker and sicker and sicker and you're always sick, right? Now, if you have an immune compromised person, obviously you got to watch them closer with that. But the average human, God gave us that tool to keep us alive. When you get the flu and you got coughing and sneezing and you feel like your life is over, all those things happen to keep you alive. If those didn't happen, that virus would kill you. Like, how crazy is that? But we're taught to stop it all. When someone taught me this, I was like, blew my mind. It's crazy. All these things happen to keep us alive. Vomiting. If we go out tonight and have sushi, I don't know if you eat sushi or not, and I have a bad piece of tuna, what's going to happen to my body? It's not going to be happy, right? It's going to go one way or the other. But why does it do that? To get it out. But if I take something and keep that in, it's breeding toxicity in my body. It's a normal reaction to keep us alive, okay? Cholesterol, I could do a whole class on cholesterol. Cholesterol is good. Your body produces cholesterol. You don't get cholesterol from food. You get cholesterol from stress and inflammation. Because if you think about your arteries, right? Your arteries are a certain size and a certain amount of blood flow can go through that. Well, if you're stressed and your body is toxic and you have high blood pressure, guess what happens to your arteries? They're going to expand, right? Have you ever gone out in your yard and you have an old hose that's like all dry rotted and you get those little bubbles that come out like where the outer lining comes apart? That's exactly what happens in your arteries. So your body produces cholesterol to create a coating to protect that. But if you never correct the underlying problem that's causing the high blood pressure, guess what happens? It gets thicker and thicker and thicker. So it's not the cholesterol that's bad. It's what's why the body's releasing the cholesterol in the first place. Again, God put these mechanisms in our body to keep us alive. High blood pressure. If you have cancer, let me ask you this. How does blood get to your organs? It pumps, right? Your heart pushes it, right? So if you have cancer, and let's say it's in your liver, does your liver need more oxygen and nutrients in the blood or less? More. So do you think your blood pressure is going to go up or down? Up. So instead of saying, oh, you have high blood pressure, let's take a drug, let's figure out why is your body producing a higher blood pressure. Now, is it just because you're maybe overweight or you're eating bad food? Let's fix that. Or is it because you have cancer and your body needs more blood? Or is your body healing something and it needs more blood, more oxygen? Or if you're a 6'8", I have a patient that's 6'8". He needs a different blood pressure than Cindy, right? We can't put everything into a box either. So a lot of that comes from lifestyles. We take lifestyles from our parents, right? She asks if it's hereditary. And so if I tell you it's hereditary, it's your genetics, don't worry, you get nothing you can do about it, guess what what are you going to say? I guess I'm stuck with it, so I'll just take your drugs, right? So if I take that freedom from you, from being able to make different decisions, now I control you. In the medical world, again, they're from crisis care, they're awesome. But from just day-to-day stuff, they're just trying to sell you pharmaceuticals. So if I can give you no hope, and say that it's just the way you are, but you need this drug for the rest of your life, what are you gonna say? But if I said, hey, let's really do some of the hardcore lifestyle changes, then we'll recheck it and see. But no one does that really, right? So it comes down to, you know, stepping back a little bit and trying to figure out why that's happening, but we're taught this stuff. I had a young girl, she's 28, she's in film school, and she had to quit school. She was working in the film industry, and she had to quit the film industry because she was having daily blackout migraines every day. And she went to her neurologist, and he goes, "Listen, Harper, you know this is just the way you are. There's nothing that we can do, so you just got to learn to live with it." 28 years old, literally sitting in her house in the dark, not being able to chase her dreams. So she was referred to my office, and she told me this story about the doctor. I said, "Listen, you take everything that doctor told you and throw it out the window." I said, "No one can tell you that except for God." And I said that man is so egotistical that because he didn't have an answer, there was no answer. I said, he has no right to take that from you. I said, even if I'm not the right answer for you, well, I'm going to find it for you. And I think I gave her the best adjustment I ever gave in my entire life today because I was so mad, passionate. And but she has not had a migraine since. And it's not about me. It's about giving her hope and an answer and a different trajectory, right? I love doctors, but they frustrate me. So with that, with what I do, and I'm going to do a short introduction to what we do, because a lot of people think they know chiropractic, and chiropractic comes in many forms, and there's many amazing chiropractors. But we're not all created the same. And the way that I describe what I do is, you know, some chiropractors are pretty aggressive in how they adjust people. Some people are a little bit lighter. There's over 100 different techniques. And my mentality when I adjust my patients is, if I came up to you and I punched you, right, what are you going to do back? Or how's it going to make you feel? Yeah, you're going to be mad at me and want to punch me back, right? But if I come up and I give you a hug, how does that make you feel? Love, right? So when I adjust my patients, my goal is to make it feel like a hug. I want to give their body a hug instead of a punch. Okay? And so with chiropractic, it's important to find the right person that you can resonate with. Okay? But chiropractic is not just about popping bones and making people crack. I always tell people I don't sell crack in my office. Okay? And so the biggest difference between chiropractic and medicine, and we're not exclusive, we're complementary. Okay? But medicine this is B.J. Palmer, he's the developer of chiropractic, and medicine is the study of disease and what causes us to die. They're focused on the negative. How do we just keep you from dying, right? Chiropractic is the study of health and what causes man to live. His whole goal in his life he said he wanted to empty prisons and fill churches through chiropractic. So what we focus on, we find. If you're looking for sickness and disease, you're going to find it. If you're looking for health, life, and vitality, and love, you're going to find it. We need more love in this world. So our approach to healing is that our body is designed for healing. It's a self-healing, self-regulating organism. Our normal state is that of health. We were designed for a healthy life. And the brainstem is the part of the nervous system that controls, coordinates, operates, and heals all functions of the body. And communication is key. You know, oftentimes our bodies are disconnected, and we start to have issues. And so all these issues in the body come from different types of stress. Chemical stress, physical stress, and emotional stress. And the way that we deal with these is through our self-care. All the things we talked about tonight, if we are having a tough time or having a struggle, you have to increase your intensity and your input of what you're doing with all these things in self-care. That's the only way for your body to heal. You can't keep doing what you're doing that put you in that place, put you in that state in the first place. You've got to do something different to get out of it. Okay? So we have physical stress, we have sports, we have car wrecks, we have sitting at desks, we have birth, and birth is a big thing. I'm actually trained as a doula. I see a lot of kids and babies in my practice. I take care of pregnant moms. I think I have like 15 pregnant moms in my office right now. Alyssa, her daughter just had a baby, which is exciting. But birth is a big passion of mine because it's something that, especially for you women, I'm going to get emotional, but it's the most amazing thing that God gave us. And medicine has stolen it from women. It takes the power away from you. It takes the joy away from you and the experience for that family. And birth can be very traumatic. This is a C-section, and everybody thinks C-sections are easy and hunky-dory. It's surgery. It's trauma. They use 70 to 100 pounds of pressure to deliver a baby. And so, but no one knows this. No one educates you on this, that God designed you to give birth to babies, right? But we live in a world that is not conducive to that anymore. So it's one of my passions. I actually want to open a birth center for this reason, to give moms and families the power and the that love back to them, because like that is something that no one else gets to do, and it's the most beautiful thing that God gave us. I'll do a whole class on that too. I'm gonna do a lot of classes here. So other stresses, so chemical, right? Processed food, sugar, all the things we just talked about, right? There's 80,000 chemicals in our environment that we live in. Emotional stresses, we go through marriage and divorce, birth and death, family stuff, financial stuff, work stuff. And a lot of us have dealt with different types of abuse. And I work with primarily females in my practice. Probably 80% of my practice is females. They say that 1 in 4 women suffer some form of traumatic abuse. I think it's way higher than that, and it breaks my heart. But we carry those things throughout our life. And so these things can create physical manifestations in our body and in our experience. So I'm going to skip over this because we don't have time. But these are just a couple of studies showing how chiropractic reduces stress. And really comes down to the nervous system. Everything is connected back to the brain. And if there is a misalignment or an impedance to the brain-to-body communication, the body will never function at its highest level. Even if you're putting good food in your body and exercising, if your body's out of balance and disconnected, you'll never get the full benefit of that. And so that's really where my passion is with chiropractic, is to allow you to do that. This is Christopher Reeve. Some of you guys may know this guy. He played Superman, right? He was a perfectly healthy guy riding a horse. His horse did a jump. Horse stopped, and he didn't. He fractured the second bone in his neck. It was about the size of a pencil lead, and it poked into his brainstem. Okay? It's kind of gruesome. But what happened to his body is everything shut down from that point down. Right? He didn't break his whole back. He broke one bone, which is right here. And that shut off life to his whole body. That's why this area is so important, is because if it's in alignment and healthy, the whole body functions better. So I'm going to skip through some of these things. This is pretty cool, actually. This is Mark. He was a patient of mine. He was a construction worker. He had extreme low back pain. He was on Vicodin. He was taking 6 Vicodin a day, going to work, climbing on roofs and stuff. I don't know how he's doing that. But his doctor wanted him to do surgery. He didn't want to do surgery, so he came to me. But when they were looking at surgery for him, they did blood work, and they found that his kidney was functioning at 30%. So they had to put him on dialysis. So you see that dialysis tube right there on the right side. So not only was he in pain, now he's on dialysis and having to deal with that. So this is x-ray 6 months after starting with me. So if you see at the first picture, his body, his whole body is shifting off to that right side of center. You guys see that? So he had a really strong scoliosis and shift there. So this is his new x-ray. See how much straighter his spine is? And what else is missing? The tube, 100% kidney function. And again, this doesn't mean every kidney problem is a chiropractic issue. But for him, we know that only 10 to 15% of a nerve determines pain. Those same nerves that were causing, screaming at him saying, there's something wrong, they were shutting down his kidneys, right? So it's about function and about how the body heals and operates. This is Miss Donna. She was a patient of mine in my old practice. She came to me. She was 65. I actually talked to her church and was sharing what we do and all these things. And she's sitting in the back row thinking, there's just no way. She was actually shopping for a wheelchair because she could hardly get around anymore. And she was on 25 medications. She'd been diagnosed with all these different things. And it took her about 2 or 3 weeks, and she came in eventually and started taking care of her. Within a year, she was off every medication. And she was back in the gym. She went to Disney with her grandkids. She was a completely different human. Another girl, this little girl had seizures and migraines, birth trauma. She was a C-section baby. And the doctors just gave her Topamax, and like, we don't know what to do. All the time getting the x-rays, but we started taking care of her. And within about 3 months, she was off all of her medications. She was no longer having seizures, no more migraines, and now she's an adult. And she got to do cheerleading, she got to drive, and do all the things that a normal kid gets to do that she would never have been able to do if her family had not taken the time to investigate and do something different for her. This is a cool statistic, basically. And again, this is not just chiropractic, I don't believe. I think all the things we talked about tonight, if you invest in all of those things, if you eat better, give your body the right fuel, you take time to connect to God, to pray and really center yourself, you move your body, you do all the things you need to do, all these statistics are going to be the same thing. You're going to have a better quality of life. And you're going to spend less money on pharmaceuticals, and you're going to spend more money on healthy things. Because I always tell people, you're going to invest money one way or the other. So you can either invest money in getting better or getting sicker and just doing the same thing you're doing. And so at the end of the day, it comes down to our responsibility. And so these two people are the same age. They're living two different lives, right? So we can make different choices. And I love this quote. And this really pushes me in what I do is this Bible verse. It says, "My people are ruined for a lack of knowledge." Some translations say destroyed, things like that. They're ruined, not just like they struggle. They're ruined for lack of knowledge. And since you've rejected knowledge, so sometimes we choose not to do the right thing, God says, "I will reject you from serving as my priest," which means you will not have the same opportunities to serve if you're not well, right? We can't serve if we can't walk, if we can't move, if we can't get out of bed, you know what I mean? Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So what he means by this is if you make these choices, they also translate to the next generation. So the choices we're making right now don't only affect us, it affects the next generation, and then the next generation, right? So as we move forward with our lives, we've got to make better choices. Oftentimes we know what the right choice is, but we go the easy route. And so what I encourage you guys to do is really take time this year. This last year has been so crazy for all of us in so many ways. Take this year to change your life. Change the trajectory of your family, make good decisions, and live the life that God designed for you.